didn't have the slightest feeling for this blob of light inside myself that I must somehow find and activate and train like a good dog. Nothing made me so aware of the fact that I was getting nowhere as the dream. It was there every night, and it was always the same. Sometimes in the morning or early evening, I would go for a long walk in the city. I especially liked the old part of town, the carefully maintained buildings with gargoyles and statues of voluptuous winged maidens presenting scrolls. Hovering over this old heart of the town were newer glass skyscrapers whose lights burned all night, and gigantic hotel convention centers with glass elevators and botanical gardens. To the west, the Rocky Mountains crouched over the city. There were numerous parks with cement walls wandering among dark, old trees and iron benches. Colorado Springs had its share of crime, but the streets were basically busy and safe. It was a city of cool summers and cold winters, but the winter air was dry and the snow itself was dry and inviting. I liked to walk around looking at the people, sometimes stopping to speak with someone. Emotions, and I broke down completely. No foul play was suspected in a case like this, since she was near the end anyway. No autopsy was done, at the request of the family. I got away with it free and clear. It was several weeks before I had, with medication, a normal night's sleep. 6 months later, I drove my beat-up Beetle out of town after school and just kept on going. But for several years, it was a rare night that I didn't return to that hospital room in my dreams. I remembered now. It was only after I'd started having the spider dreams that the dreams about my mother had faded away. I felt that Frank and Lubo were consuming me entirely. There was nothing left that was only mine. Not even my dreams. Not even my memories. I knew why Luba had frightened me so much. She'd been there all along, though I'd never been able to see her before. She'd always been with me, making me feel different and estranged from the world around me. That look in her eyes. If I'd stood before her for another instant, she would have embraced me. I was certain she was going to take me into her arms. If only I could go to Sandy now. The pain of wanting her, needing her, was driving me insane. After breakfast, I drove downtown and parked across the street from the Omelet Man's office building, rode the elevator to the 8th floor, studying my curved, elongated image in the metal door. I was wearing my only suit, a cheap but not bad-looking brown coat and pants with dark brown socks and tan shoes, plain brown tie and ivory shirt. I'd spent almost every cent I had on it when I first came to town, thinking it would help me get a job, and wore it a few times when I was filling out applications. Then Frank hired me, and I'd never seen Frank in a suit. When I found the office of Burnett, Laughlin, and Lyle, a pretty brunette glanced up at me through the glass door and went back to her typing. I sat in a hall chair next to the elevator, opened up my newspaper, and began to read. Just before 9 o'clock, Sam, the Omelet Man, emerged from the elevator wearing a sharp, three-piece gray suit with a briefcase dangling from his left hand. We tiptoed down the grassy slope, wary of the big pieces of green glass from a broken bottle of whiskey. We walked over the bare ground that would be beach, between two mountains of white sand to the water's edge. It was a pretty lake surrounded by those woods that had been left to themselves so long. Even the hunters had been kept away, and to old Sam's credit, as few trees as possible had been taken to make the lake accessible. I thought this had to be the quietest place I'd ever been, so far from the sound of cars and human voices. The low sun made a bright spot on the water that drew a flame-like arrow to our feet. Out on the lake, all but one of the 20 canoes Sam had brought in were drifting freely in the soft breeze. "Kids," she said. "If anybody comes, they'll think we did it." She turned to me for a second, eyes serene with the beauty and quiet of this place. "It's okay. We'll tell them we didn't." Then she made a shallow dive, the water pulling her hair back like a strong wind. She surfaced and stood facing me in water that came to her chest. "Come on, it'll be dark soon." She swam gracefully out toward a platform that supported a low dive and a high dive, 30 yards or so from the shore. I waded out to mid-calf, sucking air back through my teeth. I watched her pull herself up on the platform and turn to look for me, shading her eyes.